Ich grüße dich und heiße dich ganz herzlich willkommen bei den Lichtraumgesprächen. Die Lichtraumgespräche sind dazu da, dich zu erinnern, all das, was du in dir trägst, noch tiefer und offener wahrzunehmen und all das noch mehr zum Ausdruck zu bringen, was immer mehr deiner eigenen Wahrheit entspricht. Und in deinen eigenen Lichtraum hineinzutreten, um ihm dann mehr und mehr Ausdruck zu geben. Ich freue mich, dass du da bist. Mein Name ist Tanja und mein spiritueller Name ist Terracor. Und ich wünsche dir ganz viel Spaß und Freude beim Lauschen und beim Hineintauchen.
Hallo, ihr Lieben. Heute gibt es eine ganz besondere Folge und zwar eine Folge auf Englisch. Und deshalb switche ich direkt in die englische Sprache. Hello, everyone. I'm really excited that today is the first time that I bring an English episode here online. And it's out of my comfort zone and I'm really excited about. And so I'm much more excited that I have a wonderful guest here today in my podcast. I met Saraswati Adikor 2 months ago, I think. I was at the Oberlehte Kundalini Yoga Festival, like I spoke also about in last episodes. This was a very, very wonderful festival also for me. And if I'm going there, I look to the page if someone needs a pickup or whatever that I can give her a lift. And yeah, Saraswati was the one. I can pick her up from the airport at Bremen, and I was really so excited about her to meet her because our first conversations were really like deep connected persons and not strange or whatever. And so if I saw her at the airport and we meet each other the first time, it was like really deep connected soul tribe energy. Like I spoke also about many times before, what's a soul tribe and what are the soul family energies. And yes, I'm so excited that today Saraswati is here in my podcast because I asked her that we can speak about some topics. And I'm really, really grateful that she say yes. And now she's here and I'm welcome you with a warm heart love from myself to you. Welcome, Saraswati Adikor.
Satnam.
Satnam.
Thank you so much. I feel your heart always, and we've known each other not long, but this time around it's not been very long in person, but I feel like I've known you forever. And I was just thinking also when you were mentioning how we met, how it was just so wonderful. And I had never been to the German Kundalini Yoga Festival, and I had kind of mentioned that I needed a lift from the airport, and as soon as you messaged me offering me a lift, I saw your face, I just knew, something in me knew you and felt really safe and excited. And and then as soon as we met at the airport, it's been flowing ever since. So yeah, really, really, really happy to be here, flowing with you again.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my whole body is like, woo, to bathing in this energy. It's really, yeah, so wonderful. If we women are meeting each other really from the heart again and to feel each other, this is so Yeah, it's a gift. We have this and we can use this much, much more. And I love to share this with you. And so maybe not everyone is knowing you so well in my podcast. Do you want to share something about yourself? What are you doing? How are you? And what's your mission on this earth at the moment?
Yes. So I'm living in England, in the southeast of England, about an hour away from London, and about 30, 40 minutes from Brighton. And I live in a village called Forest Row, on the Ashdown Forest. So it's an area where A.A. Milne based his Winnie the Pooh books.
Oh,
So it's a really great place for me to live because it kind of really nicely incorporates my love of nature and walking and dogs, but also fantasy. So it
wow.
feels quite magical, and I feel very lucky to live here. And yeah, I mean, right now I share Kundalini yoga. And my main focus is sharing the teachings specifically for women. So, tools and practices that really help to elevate a woman's experience and her communication and her spiritual and energetic body. So, really, practices for women. And I facilitate a space called the Sanctuary with another sister called Emma Sital Piara, who's based in Spain, but she is Dutch. And we have a women's space, online space, and we offer seasonal offerings in line with the equinox and solstices. And we have a regular monthly sharing circle. And one woman from the community each month steps forward to facilitate that. And we also offer free online practices that we call taking refuge. So for women to come together in sisterhood and also take refuge in the practice. And the intention really, I think, with my mission, which changes, I think, a lot, and I'm not sure if I really have one other than trying to live my life like a poem of God's love is the main sort of sutra that I carry with me. And so, whatever I'm doing, trying to live in love and joy and equality and sort of try and dwell in those states, which I know is so difficult, especially with the world as it is. But I think that's the future sort of possibility of humanity and the way that we interact with each other. Can we be fully in love and in quality and compassion for each other? And then interact from those places, which kind of links to what you were saying earlier about when sisters meet, and it's from that place of love that our bodies just really open and soften and respond to that. And I'm thinking always of that touch point, that soft touch point where two people interact. And sometimes we don't bring those feelings of love or equality or passion or joy, but we bring judgment or we bring fear. And then the quality of the touch in the interaction is quite different. So I guess just trying to stay in that place of softness, and love where the interaction is warm and softening. And yeah, we were speaking earlier about how we're feeling, and it's quite difficult to really say because it's changing so much, it's fluctuating so much. So yeah, I'm feeling well. I'm feeling really grateful to be here with you, to have this conversation. Yeah, Satnam.
Adnan, yeah, thank you so much. And it's so wonderful to speak about these topics that you bring here up, because I'm also remember so much if I met you, that you bring some healing aspects inside of myself, like an alchemy transformation, and just like who you are and who you are being. Because I have some experience from my Kundalini yoga teacher training many, many, many years before, that there were also women training. But I felt in this kind of space and this timeline, because it's almost over 20 years before, there were really so much more discipline. Trainings about the women leadership and everything. And you bring something to me back in these workshops that you are leading, that you really live what you preach, and you are also live with who you are connected, or with whom you are connected. Like you said, you want to You live like a poem from God, and you are doing this. And this is what my, like you said, the security, this is for me always so much important. It's not that someone else gives me the security to be, but I need to feel this. And I feel this from you so deep in my heart, because you didn't judge or blame something, or said this is not okay to do this, or this you have to do. It's like you are a kind of woman, a teacher for the woman. You can teach this teachings like a woman, because I think we women don't need other women, and I don't want to blame it either, but I want to bring it up that it's not good that we have a teacher for women teaching that, and we become like saying, like, you don't have to do this, you need to do this, and you have to make this like this, because for me, it's not the women energy. The women energy is, like I said before, I need to know what I need, and I need to find something that I'm more strong in this field, that I know what I need. And you bring this up, and you bring this so deep inside of myself and also other women up, that you bring this container, this space that we can find ourselves there, and you bring also the teachings from an ancient lion to this field that's so transformational and so, like I said, an alchemized energy, that it's like, oh wow, this is the teaching, and this is the things that we need to hear. And this is what I'm so interested to speak today also, because you have such a deep wisdom, and you have something that you really be with this wisdom, and not to judge something. Or you are a being, and you are also the teacher, and you are also a woman, and you are also a student of life. And how can you be this so deep? And what did you transform to be this, what you are at the moment? How are you this becoming what you are being?
Yeah, I really, when I was listening to you, kind of think feeling also how, especially with women, and often when women interact with each other in the past, there's been, I think many of us hold wounds from that, from judgment of other women, or jealousy of other women, or competition of other women. So then we can be quite fearful to open to other women. As a woman, I think that the tongue of a woman is sharper than a sword. So we've got that, those wounds maybe, but then also, like you say, with many years ago, more linking to the kind of Piscean age that was very kind of toxic masculine and patriarchy, and any of these shit teachings that were shared. First of all, women were mostly just erased from teachings. They weren't included in wisdom teachings. Even Mary Magdalene has kind of been written out of Jesus's teachings. And it's my feeling that actually Jesus and Mary Magdalene were teaching together. So we've had that kind of erasal. And then with Kundalini yoga and sharing teachings, there was an emphasis on sharing specific teachings for women. They were very much included, and not just included, but sort of elevated actually through those teachings. But the problem is that many of us were still kind of dealing with the internal patriarchy, and we were trying to deliver or understand these teachings through a masculine lens, or that kind of lens that the whole of society celebrates productivity, exhaustion, that masculine energy and drive of control and power. So we women didn't really know what it was to be a woman or to relax into that feminine power, which is the source of wisdom. And so we kind of tried to be like men. And many of us to get on in the world, especially if you've worked in the corporate world, you had to kind of be like a man to kind of get on. And I suppose, I think one of the reasons that it's hard to say. I think our whole life is a becoming, isn't it? We're always, every moment and every breath, we're becoming. And like a flower, that the flower that blooms is kind of perpetually blooming. Can we get to that state where there's no final destination? Nothing is wrong, nothing is right. I'm perfectly imperfect, just as I am. And I'm in a constant state of becoming. And then that kind of allows compassion and love to come in. And so if I am constantly becoming, and I'm doing my best, and I'm on a journey of infinite, eternal becoming, then so is everybody else. And it allows us to then kind of view everyone else's journey with that compassion. And then we have more of an attitude of we're walking each other home, we're here in support of each other. But I suppose I always find it interesting too with, whatever we've struggled with personally, any challenges that we've had in our life are really kind of points of transformation that we can then, when we've gone through those struggles, we then have something to teach. That's kind of what makes us the teacher. We're the student of life, and then through our life struggle, we become a teacher. And what did we learn? And can we share that with others? Can we share that to elevate and support others? And I think that's kind of maybe, my personal struggles have led me to kind of then knowing the pain and the struggle that I've had, knowing that then if I can be of service to another that is experiencing something similar, then that's kind of the ultimate service. And I think for women, there's so much more of a paradox because we're teacher and student all the time, where with some of these old models of sharing the spiritual teachings, there was a guru or a teacher, and then everybody else was student. And I think for women, that model doesn't really work so well because you, like you say, we have all the answers within. We're self-sovereign within. Our soul is self-sovereign. And how do we get back that self-sovereignty? It's not by looking outside and having someone else telling you what to do. It's you finding that well within you and then anchoring there. So yeah, I think for women, equality is these are virtues that I think are much easier for the feminine polarity to kind of cultivate. So I think as women, we have a very unique position in ushering in the future of this golden age of consciousness and this raising consciousness. I think we have parts to play as feminine leaders. And that's not leadership from the old model, but it's leadership as women, self-sovereign, but then coming together and standing side by side, back to back, and sharing collectively from a collective whole. Yeah, it's sort of how I feel about it.
Yeah, so interesting, and I feel it so much in my inner being, and this is that we don't have this role models like one are going this way and is showing us how it is to be like this, and this is why it's so important to bring also the yeah, like I said, the ancient teachings back to our in our time zone now to go with them to the next places we create because we are the creator beings. And yeah, Yogi Bhajan told always about our woman power, that we are 16 times stronger than men. And it's not like we are better than men, but we have so much more intuition and we have so much deeper trust and knowing in ourselves, like you said, our self-empowerment and self-awareness. And can you speak something about the because we spoke also in Oberlehte about the Khalsa way, because I need to bring something up before. If you're doing Kundalini yoga, you can go also with the Sikh Dharma way and Khalsa way. Is it okay if I say it's a religion, or what is the right content for this to bring this field? Is it a religion, or what is the right name?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, there is a link with Kundalini
It's a link, yes.
and
And you don't have to go, but you can go. And if I did my Kundalini yoga teacher training, it's also like you can go this way, but you don't need to go. And for me, I have a really deep blocking in my inner field for going with a religion because I'm really not so open for some things like this because they are so in many fields so much dogma is there and so much like the patriarchy, it's always the church are doing so many things about over to bring over layers about the pure sources, and so I'm not so open for this, and especially not for this way to go. And so I'm not for myself, I don't go this way, but I'm really interested in these teachings because there is something inside of me what's going in resonate in a deep resonance field. This is why I'm also in Kundalini yoga at my home space from yoga. But there is something that I don't go further. And if I met you and you spoke so much about it, then I felt, there is something more that I never realized before, because yeah, there is so much more and I'm not knowing about. And there are so many things, like you spoke, there are linked to the intuition from our womanhood, and I was so yeah, interested in, but it's not so normal to speak about, I feel. And yeah, maybe you can bring in some topic and why you are so connected in this area, because you go this way, you walk this path. You're not going this way, you walk this path, and it's really like you are living this and bringing this in, and the teachings about this is much more that we are thinking about a religion. This is what I'm so interested in, and maybe you can bring something into to become another option to this energy field of this kind of religion, because this is why I also said, like, I'm not sure if I can say like a religion, because for me it's so much more than this, and it's so much more this energy for this Aquarian age that we can that we are used to if we are bringing it up with a religion.
Yes.
It's a big thing, you know.
It is, but it's a passion and an honor always to speak on it. And yeah, so there is a link we can say between Kundalini yoga and Sikh Dharma, in so much that a lot of the mantras and shabads that we chant and the sound current that we use for transformation within Kundalini yoga finds its source from the lineage of the Sikh guru's teachings. And we could spend a long time talking about the link, and we can leave it at the sound current being the link today, but there are more links. And also, the first Sikh guru or teacher, Guru Nanak, was a revolutionary. He was a revolutionary lover that was, he had a transformation himself, and then his poetry was sung. And it was speaking of self-sovereignty and oneness and revolutionary love. And he was a Hindu, and he never there wasn't the intention to develop a religion, and that isn't the and so many people will not call Sikhism a religion at all. They will say it's, if anything, it's a philosophy. And really, in its essence, I find it like a song of revolutionary love and truth that can awaken you back to the true nature. And so it's beyond religion, and it encompasses every religion. There's a real emphasis in Guru Nanak's Sikhi that everybody is equal, whether you're atheist, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, everybody is welcome to come and sing these songs of praise and love. And he came around in a time where there was a lot of dogma, and there was the caste system in India where some people were deemed untouchable. And so a lot of what he came to kind of bring and revolutionize was the idea that you don't need to go to a priest or a holy person for your salvation. There's nothing to redeem. Your soul is pure, and you can find self-sovereignty, and a message of oneness that we're all one, and that you can be Hindu or Muslim, and you're still welcome to sing these songs of love in praise of the divine. And you can you we're all one. It's there's one God, and we're all maybe finding different ways to journey back to that realization, and none of them are wrong. Everybody's life requires different things, and so what works for one person might not work for the other. And so, yeah, the original revolutionary impulse of these teachings, which came through sonically, came through song and sound and poetry. This is the main teaching. It was without dogma. And women very much were considered equal, again, at a time in India where they weren't generally. And then we went on a journey, these teachings, this beautiful kind of flower that was opening of these teachings to bring about revolution and oneness again and freedom, freedom from these shackles of the dogmatic religion. It followed through that there was then 10 living Sikh gurus, and they each embodied a different virtue that really is like a blueprint for us to live life as a loving human. And it speaks to us of the virtues that we can develop to really elevate our consciousness so that we can elevate the whole of humanity, so that then our interactions with each other are really from a place of soul and spirit, that we're viewing everyone as one. We have devotion, and we view everyone as equal, and we honor and love the truth, and we recognize the truth is in everyone, and we're fearless. We're fearless, that we don't allow fear to stop us from opening our heart and sharing with each other. And then we don't seek revenge whenever we're hurt in life or if somebody does us wrong. We don't seek revenge. We try to establish a state of pre-forgiveness. And then we recognize that we're a soul having a human experience. So we're beyond time and space. And our true nature is that of the divine. And then, can we become self-illuminated? Can we become self-sovereign and share that light and that union of the divine with each other? And it's the Khalsa consciousness comes in also with the 10th Sikh Guru, Guru Gobind Singh. There was an initiation, if you like, an alchemy period where he felt that the time was right to kind of hand back this sovereignty to humanity. And he asked for 5 volunteers to give their head. And he initiated the Amrit ceremony, where we kind of baptize ourselves, where we become sovereign with our soul, and we have that full merger within the human body as a human with the divine and become self-sovereign. And this Khalsa kind of means, amongst other things, pure or unalloyed. And so that can our consciousness and the light of our soul be so unalloyed and clear that it shines through. And then we share that light and we join in that light with everyone. And it's really like a consciousness of truth, recognizing that we're souls having a human experience and that we're all one, we're all a part of the divine. And the divine is within us, it's not without. We don't need to seek with outside. And he handed over the sort of living guruship to the compilation of poetry that many saints from many religions had written that spoke of truth and love. And it was handed over to a living transmission of sound and poetry that when we read and we sing can actually elevate our consciousness and provide the alchemy and transformation so that we can have merger with the divine. And so it was handed over to the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, which is many people will say is a book, but it's much, much more than that. It's a living, breathing embodiment of truth and love in sound form, and it needs to be opened and it needs to be read. We need to put our voice and our body into it, And then we can embody the divine within through this sacred sound. And it doesn't need you going to a priest or somebody outside of you to read it for you or to sing it for you, but you can sing it for yourself, sing that song yourself, and also come together with your brothers and sisters and sing together. And that we could spend hours talking, and I can go off on a tangent with this. So it's best to maybe leave just some seeds, but yeah, knowing that you have it right, really, when you feel that it's not a dogmatic religion. Of course, it's many, many over 550 years old. It's one of the world's youngest religions or philosophies. And like I said, the intention wasn't a religion, especially not a dogmatic one. But obviously, over those years, many things have happened that have led to there, of course, being some level of dogma with the way maybe it's practiced as a religion now. But its essence was not that. But this is like every religion. There's freedom and love and truth spoken in all religions, and then unfortunately, humanity has been, journeying to a higher level of consciousness, and we've sometimes got it wrong. We've sometimes used these teachings to weaponize them against other people, minorities, other groups. We've used it to divide. We're saying this is right, this is wrong. And this isn't the essence of the religion. This is how humanity has interpreted it and then weaponizes it and dogmatizes it. So every religion at its core has that truth and beauty, speaking of this oneness. And for me, I suppose, just to finish on, when I started practicing Kundalini yoga and then when I did my level one teacher training, there was an element of the Kundalini, not the practice. The practice is transformational and I honor it deeply, but there was elements within the community and the way it was taught, the way it's being shared, that I didn't really resonate with. I was kind of reluctant to call myself a Kundalini yogi because I felt like, oh, I'm not sure if I like everything I see. But it was the mantra that really woke something up in me, again, coming from that Sikh tradition, I felt myself feeling, oh, this is why I'm here. I'm here for this, for the Sikhi, for the sound. And then as my journey's progressed, it's kept opening and blossoming. And my devotion for that lineage of teachers and that lineage of wisdom within the Sikh tradition is very, very strong. And I strive to be a humble servant of that, badly at times, and I don't think I'll ever be able to serve those teachings in a way that I would like to, but I will endeavor to keep staying connected to that lineage and sharing those beautiful teachings of oneness and love and revolution. And there's no dogma here. There's no, everybody is welcome. The Golden Temple, this Harimandir Sahib in Amritsar in India, which is sort of the main worship place for Sikhs, is golden, and it's like a golden, it's like the heart center, right at the center of a pool of water, and it's golden. And there are four walkways to come into the center, representing that there is many ways that you can journey through life, but we're coming back to that unconditional love at the heart. And can we be loving to all? So Hindu, Muslim, Christian, everybody is welcome to come into this center at the heart. And yeah, I just holding on to that, and the verticality of that, standing under that if I can. But thank you for asking about this. And I hope I did it justice.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like you said, we can speak so much about it, and so many layers are there, but it's good to have some important topics about, and to become another picture about this. And like you said, it's a philosophy. I think this resonates much more with inside of me, like speaking about a religion, because a philosophy is always something to bring something open in the spaces, and not so much, like you said, a dogma, and to judge and to blame and to use it like something to hold for myself, to speak about it like other people are not good if they are not doing this like it's spoken or whatever. And like you said, this resonates very deep inside of me. This is a philosophy or religion or whatever, what brings us back to our nature. And this is so important at the moment, because we have so many aspects of informations. We can use everything to become some information, to become some information about every topics that we are need to know, that we want to know, but we are not so much connected with our own inner wisdom. We are always looking outside of us, because we are trained like this, that everyone else has something that I don't have. We are trained to use something that I don't have, that I want something that I don't have, and so on, so on. And like you said, this is a philosophy, and this is a really good way to come back to our own inner wisdom. We also tune in Kundalini Yoga with Om Namo Gurudev Namo. And this means I bow to my own inner teacher. And this is so important at the moment, because we are so lost in so many things that we always, if we are not feeling good inside of us, or we have struggles, or we have really tough times, we always search outside. And we didn't learn that we can find it inside, and especially as a woman, because we always, we have so much struggle also with our inner wisdom, our inner trust in our wisdom. And to find, also, we spoke a little bit before, to find the balance inside of myself, and to feel the power in the balance of myself. And what can you share about this topic to find the inner wisdom, also especially for the women, that we are in this new age, or new in this Aquarian age, where so much information overflow is around us, and so much knowing? It's not always a wisdom, it's some things like knowing. And we always try to find someone, or try to find something. And what can we attempt to this place now, from this ancient wisdom into our now? What is important for us, like a woman, and also for the man? I don't want to just bring in one topic, but if we are knowing more our woman wisdom, for me, it's also a balance to the man. It's not like separating, it's always like coming together. And what is there from your perspective, what is really important for us, like a woman at the moment, to trust more our wisdom, and how can we find this way inside of us again and back again.
Yeah, it's so important. And like you rightly say, it's not just for women, it's just as important for men as well to kind of find this self-sovereignty and that balance and the wisdom within. And we can always look at them when we talk about feminine and masculine as just energies. And as a woman or identifying as a woman, you'll have a balance of masculine and feminine energy. And as a man, or identifying as a man, you'll have a balance. And then if you identify as non-binary, there'll still be some kind of balance between those two primary energies of creation. And everybody exists on a scale of that. And for women specifically, I think because we've had so many centuries where we've been tamed and controlled and taught not to trust our intuition, our gut feeling, because we have that ability as the original creator, the mother wisdom, the mother creation, the primal Adi Shakti of creation, that the masculine or the patriarchal masculine has feared that. It's not controllable. And the systems that we have in place now that benefit the rich and that benefit control and power, most of us are kind of enslaved by a very small percentage of millionaires and the companies and the systems that that has produced. So everyone in humanity is enslaved kind of on much deeper level than we realize. And it's important for women to break free of that. But she has to, like you say, she has to kind of almost turn off the screen, come away from the phone for a while, and come back to yourself. Sit with the breath. One of the simplest things you can do, even if it's just a few minutes a day, is to come and sit. Or go for a walk in nature and inhale and exhale deeply through the nose. And when you inhale, mentally vibrating sat, which means truth, and then nam on the exhale, which means name, identity. So you're then tying your mind and your breath to your true nature, and you're planting that truth inside your body. Which is the temple of this truth, where we can embody it and express it. The balance point is the physical body, so it has to be embodied within it. And when we use the breath and the mantra Sat Nam, it's like planting truth within, like tilling the ground. And it can start simply like that. And then you're going to become clearer. When you stop looking to be validated or for praise, or you're looking outside always, when you start looking within and putting your hand, your left hand on your heart, and saying, what does my soul say? What does my intuition tell me? And then trusting it. And start small, just start listening within more, cultivating those moments of silence to listen within. And for some people, this is going to be really, really difficult because we're so overwhelmed. And sometimes it might take somebody being pushed to a crisis for them to wake up. And for other people, not. And for me, definitely, I had a sort of crisis of the way I was living. I had a crisis in health, emotion, mental, that really pushed me over to have to wake up, to have to find another way to live. And so many of us do experience it like that, the awakening like a crisis. And then we experience it as a blessing because we had an opportunity. But it's really important because a woman, when she's in that daughter archetype, which men again also have within, the daughter is innocent and she has pure passion and longing and that juice and that wetness for life, that excitement. But her naivety, which is not wrong, Her innocence, which is not wrong, it's vulnerable though. And the powers that be, the powers of control, the manipulation, the media, the social media, they know that they can really enslave this innocence, this purity, this longing, this passion. And then when they have it, it's like this power. This is the power of the feminine, this sexual, passionate energy that we can then control for power and manipulation. So we have to become self-sovereign of that. And most of us are not. Most of us also in this realm, it's very clouded by judgment and neurosis and trauma. So there's a lot of cleaning and clearing of this realm that we need to do as women. And obviously, the menstrual cycle, there's times during the month where we're more vulnerable to manipulation, because we're seeking praise or flattery. We're feeling needy, so we're looking outside to get those needs met. So it's becoming very aware of your patterns. But starting small, starting with just your breath. Can I sit with my breath for 5 minutes a day without my phone, without my screen, and start to cultivate a space where I can hear the voice of intuition? I can allow my third eye to open to receive that wisdom and guidance as a woman and trust it. But men, this is equally relevant for men as well. Men have it slightly easier as they won't have kind of the hormonal fluctuation to deal with, the kind of waxing and waning emotions that a woman does. But that's a woman's superpower also. But yeah, intuition, listening, and coming back to the self is the great work, the journey that all souls are on. And so also being compassionate with ourselves. And not seeking perfection, but what can I do? What small step can I make? And then holding myself in love and compassion, because it isn't easy. We're changing ages. We're changing the level of consciousness. The frequency is rising, but right now we're really still in the trenches. It's a battleground out there. There's a battle for your consciousness. So yeah, some compassion and kindness. But it may be that you need to take time away from the internet, from the social media. And I think many of us would benefit from doing that, because it has such a huge effect on the nervous system. We're so overstimulated. And really balance, we need a balanced nervous system to be balanced. If we're constantly stressed, we're not going to find that level of equilibrium and balance. And really, balance is really being balanced within the physical body. So maybe some small things that we can do to achieve balance is also focusing on self-care. What are my daily needs? How much sleep do I need? Do I need to go outside and walk in nature every day? Do I need to have a foot massage every day to help me feel grounded? Do I need to make sure that I'm eating a nutritious, healthy diet that is right for me, not what someone tells me I should be eating, but what nourishes me? Can I have 5 minutes every day where I comb my hair and I oil my hair? Can I give myself a massage every day? Really taking care of our daily needs. This is going to help balance the nervous system, but then also taking care of the physical body as a temple for the divine and our soul. And taking care of that is also going to lead us to balance, because we're here for the human experience, and the full realization of the divine will happen in physical body. The divine in matter, spirit in matter, and that's the physical body. And the physical body has a lot of wisdom, a lot of wisdom, and it's able to feel states of love and bliss and excitement and passion. And so we want to embody that. And so balancing that, coming out of the mind and into the body, is also very balancing. What does the body need is another way to help balance. But keeping it simple as well. What one small thing can I do every day to help me on the path to balance? But then recognizing that as you go through life, the equilibrium of that balance is always going to be changing. It's a dance. It's like walking a tightrope. And it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears when she's tasting the porridge. One is too sweet, one is too salty, and then she finally tries another and it's just right. And so we have to kind of allow ourselves to dance and flow with the balance, always seeking equilibrium and wholeness and balance, but not getting rigid with it, knowing that it will change and it will flow. And flowing is something that women are naturally very good at. So, yeah, allowing the flow is also a way to allow balance. And lastly, something that I think is really important to access the flow and balance state is relaxation. So, making sure that you find time every day. Again, it doesn't have to be long, but finding time every day for relaxation. So, having you can listen to guided relaxation online. You could have a yoga nidra, lying down on your back, or you could have a foot massage to help relax you, or a foot bath, or a whole body massage, depending what you've got time for. But taking time each day for relaxation as well. Hope that was helpful.
Yeah, it's very good to remember and to speak about, because for me it's also sometimes like if I'm in service for others, I can do everything. And I'm really disciplined in this to do this. And also it's a commitment, and it's very easy to be with this. But if I'm in service for myself, then I find sometimes, oh, other things that are more important or whatever. And sometimes it's so hard to also commitment to have a commitment for our own self. And I think especially for our women, because we are so much used to be in service for others. And you spoke about the daughter, and I know this topic's also from my medicine woman training. We have the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And so we have all aspects in ourselves. We have the maiden, like you said, the innocent child that is really excited about the world, the being, wants to have experiences and everything. And then the mother, she cares for everything. And she's really loving in her caring. And then we have the grown, the woman who have every experiences in her life, and she knows everything. She have the deep wisdom. And we have all three aspects in ourselves. But sometimes I think most women from us have this. And it doesn't matter if we have children or not. But I think we have so much in us to be in service for others than for ourselves. And like you said, sometimes it's really good to have just a little kind of thing that we become a daily routine. We can do it really daily, because it makes so much. It changed a lot inside of us if we are bring ourselves to the first place, because I feel it also for this month, especially in the September energy, that if we don't nourish ourselves first, we can't do it to the outside, because there is so much frequency around us at the moment. And if we are going with a hungry inner space that is not nourished by ourself, then it really becomes a fast state of burning out. at the moment. I feel like this. And it's also like many women at the moment are either on the one side going out and say, oh, I do this, I do this, I can do this, and I do much more. Or, oh, I don't need anything. I need to rest. I need to integrate. I need to do nothing. And like I said before, the balance is the key at the moment. And if I'm knowing myself what I need to have for nourish my inner self, then this is the first important thing to do. Because yeah, and we have to be aware of this. I feel it so strong. I'm not sure if you feel the same, but at the moment I feel it much stronger than ever before, that we have to bring this aspect first, to be the mother for ourselves first, before we are the mother for everyone else. Maybe like this. I'm not sure what resonates with you in this. And also, I remember for this topic, I remembered our conversation in Bremen in a very little, small, nice coffee shop. It was so wonderful. And we spoke about this longing, especially for our women, for our feminine energy, in the women energy, that we have such a deep longing to become the love from or to be loved from the father, and that we lost the energy there. And this is why we always be in service and do so much. And yeah, maybe you can bring to the end here again this topic, because it was so deep for me that you spoke about this, and maybe it helps a little bit to understand why it's so important at the moment to nourish ourselves first before we burned out. And yeah, because we are needed at the moment. We women are really needed. And also for the man, it's not, like I said, it's not separated. It's a deep connection. But if we are coming into our own power and our own self-awareness, then also the man field is, or the masculine field is healed, because it depends each other. It's a togetherness. It's not a separating field. It's coming together.
Yeah, it's resonates hugely, and it also speaks of the balance, you know, with the mother, the maiden or daughter, the mother, and then the crone. And I feel like really, when a woman really has to find balance with all three. And I think that's the portal that you step through with menopause, is it that the opportunity then, as that wise woman crone, the crone isn't just the crone. The crone is the balance point between the mother and the maiden. And I feel very much like that's the portal, the opportunity that we have when we go through menopause. And that's the wise feminine leader that we need in the world. And you're right in terms of the mothering. When we're too strongly in the mother polarity and less in the woman, we're give, do. And we won't ask for help. And we martyr ourselves really as well. There is a level that we're getting some of our need, our unconscious need to be needed, fulfilled through giving and mothering. And there is a level of false martyrdom with that. It's not really sacrifice. It's we're hoping to get some kind of need met. But like you say, it leads massively to burnout and also toxic mothering, smothering mothering. And we need to mother ourselves first, definitely. We need to have access to the mother as the creator power, that everything that she brings into herself through her link to the divine, to the infinite, which is again that number eight, she is the source of divinity. And actually, if she can connect to that flow of prana, to the divine infinite, it's not really her giving anyway. She's just a vessel that is open enough to allow the flow through her. And that's the sacrifice. We let go of the clinging and the control, and we lie back and we say, come through me. But we have to take care of our needs first. We have to take care of the daughter within us first before we take care of anyone else. Because when she's not taken care of, she's vulnerable for manipulation. And that's exploitation, sexual exploitation, on every level. This is the gap. And the daughter has the longing for the father. And we sometimes, again, outsource that to a man in a relationship or to our own mortal father. But the real longing, the real source of that longing, is the longing for the divine. And that's kind of like the divine masculine, the ultimate father principle. And again, it's beyond gender, but it's sometimes easier in the body of a woman to have that principle as sort of the divine masculine, because it calls on our longing more, it ignites it more. And yeah, the worldly level of the partner or the father can never really fulfill that need. And because we feel that longing in us, the daughter goes out searching in the world for it from another instead of from herself, because the divine masculine archetype is also within us. And this is divine union and divine marriage within. This is the five of balance and the ten, the saibang. I'm self-illuminated. I am divinely unified within. There's nothing outside of me that I need. That's like the full merger and marriage. We have to satisfy it within first. And that's, you see it with many, many corruptions with, this, the daughter getting corrupted in some ways, or try to control through exploitation on every level. But yeah, it's recognizing the true longing in us, and then not trying to find the fulfillment of that from outside of ourselves. You've got to find it within.
It's so interesting because, like you spoke, I recognized that I did this in my last years. Like you spoke about the daughter to find some relationship to fit this gap and to heal this gap or this wound or whatever. And now I'm in my crone center in my menopause, and I felt like I'm not sure how I want to have a relationship. And if I listen to you, then I understand why I live this like this at the moment, because I'm not the daughter anymore. I'm also not the woman any the mother anymore. And I don't know how the crone wants to be in a relationship. And this is very excited for me to be like an observer for myself, that I live this life like a natural woman being, maybe something like this, to have these experiences back in my life. And I'm not, I don't, want to miss any experience because they make me like I am, and I'm not in this, and I don't have just pink experiences. I have every aspects, and yeah, but I now I understand much more why I am in this state to not know which kind of relationship I want, because I'm feeling myself in another way. And it's really good to understand this, that this is like a natural state of not knowing, and to be open for something what can come into this new state of being. And this is also a thing I think very important for us, like a woman, that we need to trust our way more than this what we might to think we need to do. And if we look back to our way, to our path, this is what I make a lot. And then I understand, okay, this is the red line, and I can trust my red line because this experiences lead me to my soul path. And we have to understand that we women have so many aspects, and we just have not one, and we are not linear. We are spiral cycles and so many things that we are inside of us. And yeah, we need to be so much more humble and grateful and so much more connected to our own divine energy, because this divine energy in ourselves leads us always. It's nothing else. So, like I said before, it leads me also to you, that we are come together and that we are connected. And so we have to find much more gratitude for our own awareness and our own being and our own wisdom. And yeah, it's so big. And you bring so many things here in this field, in this space. And I think we need to digest and integrate it. It's so much. And yeah, but before I want to go to the end, but I want to ask you if you have something to bring in about this aspect, about the relationship also.
Yeah, I was listening to you and feeling like you're entering the season of having a relationship with yourself. Like the crone, the daughter maybe, and the mother were looking outside, but the crone is saying, okay, let us have a relationship with your own soul. You know, not and and recognizing that the needs that you have can't be met externally. And it made me really think of Mother Nature and the cyclical nature of the seasons that we and women were so intimately connected to this. There's so many different seasons of our lives. When we're young women, we're embodying more the maiden, we're maybe in the childbearing years, and then we move into motherhood, and our body is totally changed by these experiences. We're sacrificing ourselves all the time. And even if we don't have children, we're mothering projects or people, or we're becoming pregnant with other things. And then when we go through that portal into the crone season, which is more like the kind of autumn, winter, it's like we're now in a relationship much more with our own soul and our own sovereignty. And this is where the power, I think, of the crone lies, because even in winter, the seeds of spring are underground, ready to bloom. And from a kind of Kundalini yoga perspective, there's a teaching within authentic relationships that really the union of divine and masculine, and that marriage within with your own soul and spirit, is the most important. And then when we achieve that state, we're elevated to that state of saibang, which means self-illuminated. And we are seeking nothing outside of ourselves. We're self-sovereign. We're illuminated. The light of the soul is shining through like the light of a thousand suns. And from that place, that's the most attractive state we can be in. And if we can attract a partner in that state, the magnetism of that will bring a partner that is also in that state. So we've raised our frequency because we've invested in the relationship with ourselves. Then we may not even be seeking relation with another because we're self-satisfied. We have union already. But the magnetism of that light state attracts a partner that is also vibrating at that frequency. And then you have true merger, you know, that one light in two bodies. And then the relationship that you have with your partner becomes about how you're serving humanity as you're sharing this love and unconditional light and love to the rest of humanity. And I think this is the relationship that Jesus and Mary had. You know, it was they were both self-sovereign, but when they came together, this was the true merger, or the manifestation of the physical merger in the physical plane. And this is what's happening in the etheric soul level anyway. But how beautiful to be of service to humanity in that way. So yeah, I think it's natural that we come to a point in our life where we have to focus on relationship with ourselves. And how beautiful, you know, with the possibility of what that will bring into your life and who it will bring in as well.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. And this is always, we know this. I think we always know this, that if we are with ourselves much more and really deep satisfied with ourselves, then I don't need to have someone who give me something, because I'm fulfilled with myself, and then I can become a fulfilling relationship. But now I become much more awareness of how it feels like this, because on the other side, this is also what came up to me all many years before also, that if a woman is by herself, it's always like, oh, why do you have a relationship, or why do you have kids or whatever. It's always like this. Yeah, a woman is always like not okay if she's just by herself, and if a man is it in this kind of state, it's okay. It's not like this thing. And for me, it's also like I become some impulses for this topic that many years before, it was really insecure for a woman to be by herself. And this is in our bones again, because if we were on this place of not being in a relationship, then we were like a witch or whatever. And this was very, very insecure for ourselves. It was we lost our lives in this field, and so maybe this is also something that we are have in ourselves, like a remembrance that it's not okay to be alone, but we can really be in our state now and remember or recognize that it's not insecure at the moment to be alone or to be by herself. And I recognize many women at the moment that they want to be like this, because they need to have this experience also to go away from this field, like, I need to have this, I need to have a man, a child, a house, or whatever. I need to feel much more who am I really inside of myself. And also, it's very okay to have this longing for a relationship, a children, a house, and whatever. But I think m much more is getting open to this energy. It's not like so dogmatic. You have to go like this, you have to go like this. And this is very good, because we are now in this time space, time zone, that we have to find our own field in this, our own integrity of this energy. What do I want? And like we spoke about before, what do I need? What do I really need? And not, do I need this because someone else told me this? It's always like going back again and find, what do I really need? Is this really this, or do I need something else for myself first, before I go to find something what I really want? And yeah, we are at the moment in a really big field of changes, and everything comes together from our past, from the future, in the now, and so we are creating this new energy at the moment, and we can also be like this innocent child to be open for everything what wants to come, and to be also excited about it, like an innocent excitement. And it's like, oh, what will come next? And not like, I need to this, I need to have this, and to have this pressure in it. We need to have open spaces inside of us and around us. And this is so much more what we are be aware of at the moment than everything else. Yeah. Oh, we have a little, not a little, we have a big, big journey here at the moment, Saraswati. Thank you for this. But before we go to the end, I want to share, I want you to ask you for sharing your offerings, because you have so much to give at the moment. Like you said, the sanctuary. You can spoke about it again also, and also about your sharings, your offerings. You do some workshops online and also offline in Germany. And yeah, if you want, you can share something for this, and I will put the information into the show notes anyway. But it's good to have some information from you also if you want.
Yes, thank you, Satnam. Yes, I'm going to be teaching two online workshops in collaboration with Sathari Singh and the Guru Ram Das Academy in Boisenberg, Germany. So it's for the German Sangat. The first workshop is on October the 9th, and it's 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And then the second workshop is on November the 20th at the same time. And then we're going to be ending this workshop series with an in-person retreat at the Guru Ram Das Academy in Boisenberg in Germany. And the theme of the workshop is Daughters of Humanity, Feminine Leadership in the Aquarian Age. So we're going to be looking at how women can step up to leader to become leaders of this new age of consciousness. And we're going to be looking at the daughter archetype in workshop one, and also the subconscious, the menstrual cycle, the womb wisdom. And then on the workshop two, we're going to be looking more at the warrior woman archetype and the power of intuition and revolutionary love. And then in the final workshop in person, we're going to be coming together to bathe in the presence of other women in a safe, supportive, loving way, and really embodying the self-illuminated, the self-sovereign woman archetype, and really tying together all of these leadership qualities in ritual and celebration, and a time to really kind of celebrate being together in sisterhood, to support each woman very much with a feeling of equality amongst us all. And hopefully my intention is that we'll co-create that space together. So I'll facilitate the space, but I'm very much looking forward to other women to stepping up and sharing their wisdom, their gifts, and co-creating together. And so, yeah, that's a wonderful workshop series to prepare us for next year. And in the sacred numerology of next year, the number 6, 8, and 10 are really highlighted, and they're all feminine Shakti numbers. So next year really is a very, very loud voice of the feminine. So the workshop's kind of designed to prepare us for that transition. And then I teach a weekly Kundalini yoga class online on Zoom. that I call Daughters of Humanity, just sharing the teachings for women. And it's a standard Kundalini yoga class format with warm-ups, a kriya, and a meditation, but specific to living life as a woman. And then the shared space with Emma, Sital, Piara, the sanctuary, a space, and again, an online space. We have autumn equinox container coming up starting this Sunday, actually, in line with the eclipse. 11 days of meditation online. And then we also offer free community practices called Taking Refuge, where you can come and experience a Kundalini yoga practice or teaching for free. And then a monthly sharing circle for women to come together and be seen and witnessed. And again, we have an online WhatsApp community that we share in. And then we encourage a different woman each month to facilitate the circle so that it's very much a co-creation. But yes, that's kind of ways that if you wanted to kind of get more into the women's teachings or you wanted to share space, these are ways that you can do it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I will put everything in the show notes, and I'm also in this community in the sanctuary, and I love to be there because there's always so special sharings and from all over the world, I think. And so, and it's always that we are, it doesn't matter where we are at the moment, we are really all together in this at the moment. And this is what always makes me so deep, in a deep place of gratitude in myself, that we are now living in this time that we came for. And yeah, this makes me always like deep touching in myself, because so many years before we spoke about the Aquarian age and the new energies, that we are coming together from all over the world. It's more easier to come together than ever before. And yeah, I'm so deep gratitude, deep, I have a deep gratitude inside of myself for this, and to use these opportunities. And so I want you also invite for this offerings to look at maybe the sanctuary or something else, because it's so good to come together in this time spaces and this energy fields, because then we know much more, and we really recognize much more that we are not alone anymore. Because many years before, we felt so much more alone, and really like I'm so much otherwise than others. And now we are recognized much more. We are in this together, and it's the all in one, and this, we are one community that we are now really create together. And thank you so much that you are create this also. And be someone who is creating this and holding this space, and for co-creation, because this is so important to co-create and to bring all in what's there. And yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it feels like you choose yourself, the time for women is choose yourself. But then we've got this beautiful opportunity to come together in sisterhood. And like you say, that soul family tribe all over the world, we've our soul chose to be alive at this time here
Yeah.
for this party.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful way that we can then choose ourselves, but come together in sisterhood and be supported and seen. And, we were kind of sharing before we started today how we've been feeling and how it's, quite up and down. And I've had some physical kind of ailments and like coming together, even just you and I this morning. and having this conversation, I feel so much better. I feel like I've been able to bathe in the waters of sisterhood again and co-creation, and I feel like, okay, I'm okay. I can keep going. I've got this support, and just when people come together and share, this co-creation is always, we're better together, aren't we?
Oh yes, oh yes, yeah. And this is,
Thank you.
thank you so much. And this is, yeah, this is a good, good keyword to end this really deep conversation. We are better together. Thank you so much,
Oh, thank you. Thank
sister,
you.
to my heart from, yeah, I'm so glad that we are meet each other again. Thank you so much, and
You.
Sat Nam and Ahe.